You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick 2, 3, or 4 players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick 2 or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Winning season returns at MyBookie, and that's where you can get double your first deposit. Get in on the action using promo code 3YARDS, and that's how you double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. So get in on MyBookie, and remember to use the promo code 3YARDS. Bet with the best this NFL season for your chance to win big. So your winning season begins today only at MyBookie.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is here, and I have no idea why, but he's not here, okay? He should be here on Monday for sure. Well, Simon, I thought we were going to start the show about, and I was going to start by saying that the Dolphins had just acquired a silky smooth running back worthy of a Manscaped advertisement. But now I kind of hope that Le'Veon Bell doesn't use Manscaped and uses straight razors.
Yeah, I mean, he is definitely not using the 5RSN code. Do you see what I did that? I remembered it this week.
Yes.
He might have had the opportunity to use the 5RSN code if he'd have joined the Miami Dolphins, but instead he chose to join the Kansas City Chiefs and therefore is eliminated from using the Manscaped code to help his testicular area, his gentleman area. We got a few criticisms last week, not for the incredible quality of the singing, I might add, which apparently went down. I mean, I don't want to sound like Donald Trump, but it was the best singing ever. A couple of party poopers were getting a little bit aerated that we talked about the gentleman's area.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, what can I tell you? You know, it is what it is. But yes, the song about the lawnmower 3.0 will live long in the memory, long in lots of people's memories. I haven't actually been contacted by any record companies, which I find slightly bizarre. I assumed that my inbox would be full of Warner and other record companies that I now can't think of sending me messages going, we'd like to sign you to a contract, do some work with Taylor Swift or whatever. But maybe they've lost my number. But Yes. What they haven't lost is the code 5RSN for the Lawnmower 3.0, which
20% off.
20% off to gently cultivate your gentleman's area.
Yeah, oddly enough, speaking of music, Le'Veon Bell has what looks like 5 or 6 videos, which who knows? I'm not his accountant, but there has to be several million dollars spent on these videos of Le'Veon Bell and his music. And yeah, I must say, it's the worst thing I've ever listened to, ever.
Yeah, but I don't have you down as a hip-hop fan.
I actually am, Simon.
Really?
Yes, from way back. Not of what is, you know, what is considered hip hop nowadays, but you know, I love the New York scene and the California scene in the 90s. Loved it.
Okay.
You know, okay. I like more of the classics. And Kendrick Lamar is fine. You know, but oddly enough, had he signed with the Dolphins, I was gonna play some of his music and promote it on the show. You know.
If you'd have signed for the Dolphins, I bet you'd have loved his music, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would have said, oh my God, this guy's talented. Look how multi-talented this guy is. Not only is he going to run the football for us on Sunday, but you know he's going to make great music that we're going to celebrate here for years. But,
so we were in a three-horse race with KC and the Bills, which quickly became a two-horse race between us and the Chiefs. And we offered more in terms of money and length, and he chose the Super Bowl. You know, look, you can't blame him
for
choosing, you know, to play with Patrick Mahomes alongside Clyde Edwards-Hilaire in an offense that's just lost Sammy Watkins. So just gives him another little safety valve, as it were, with a head coach in Andy Reid, who's operating at the very top of his game, and Eric Bieniemy as well. So it's, you know, is it disappointing? I don't know. You know, 2017 was his last productive season. You sat out 2018, two bad years of the Jets. Ryan Tannehill had a run on Tuesday night against the Bills longer than any run that Bell has had in the last two seasons. So that kind of puts it slightly into perspective, and you wonder what his motivation is and whether or not he really is fired up enough to, you know, because people sent me tweets saying, well, you know, I'm sure he's going to be great because you can't trust anybody that played with Adam Gase. And there is the sense of that. You look at what's happened with the Jets, you look at what happened in the end of the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. But something, you know, Bell is not completely blameless in all this. You know, there is, where is the level of self-respect? Where is the level of, you know, because you go back to his Pittsburgh career and he was arcing towards a possible, in inverted commas, possible Hall of Fame career if he carried that on in Pittsburgh. You know, he turned down a significant amount of money, then sat out a season off back to, I mean, what was he, three-time first-team All-Pro? Three-time first-team All-Pro. Mm-hmm. You know, that's serious catalogue for a running back when you look at, you know, Gale Sayers in 5 years, Terrell Davis in 6 years in terms of getting into the Hall. You know, and he was on pace to have, look, he's only 28 now. He was on pace for some serious yardage. He may play into his early to mid 30s and have back to back 1,000-yard seasons, and he will become a very interesting discussion. But there's something I feel slightly uncomfortable thinking that all of a sudden he's just going to change the attitude that we've seen for the last 3 years, which doesn't seem to be entirely football centric or entirely team centric, into, you know, it's a difficult one for me. Would I have liked him to sign? Probably, because I think he suited the offense. I think he suited the style of offensive line play that we had, his patience, his hands out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we passed up on Barry Sanders, let's say that.
Yeah, one thing I never understood, he was on a Super Bowl team, sat out an entire year over not wanting to take the franchise tag. He never replaced that money, because if he earned $28 million from the Jets for two seasons, you know, how do you replace the $14 million you passed up the year before? You just don't.
Exactly.
You know, so I felt that his choices, I felt he had three really good choices, to be honest with you. First of all, if he wanted to win and to get snaps, I think the Bills was the easiest choice of the three, because I don't know if you're watching that team, but Singletary doesn't look like the man all of a sudden. He's not having a great season. But then you look at the Chiefs, and you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is headed for a Rookie of the Year trophy this year. And I know somebody reached out to me and said, no, CeeDee Lamb's going to get that. Trust me when I tell you, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to get it because he plays with Mahomes and the Super Bowl champion. Okay, CeeDee Lamb is playing with Andy Dalton and a team that looks like it's going to struggle to win six games. So Yeah, I would say Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets that. So I guess his snaps get cut in half. He's going to be much more prominent. He's going to be on TV all the time. Everybody's going to look at him. With the Dolphins, I guess it was an audition for if he had a great year this year, I guess he gets paid again in the offseason by somebody. But I thought he had three good choices. He chose to win, and you can't – I would never blame anybody for choosing to go win, you know?
I think that if we're honest with ourselves, Miami were third in a three-horse race in terms of – you know, you look at the Chiefs are the defending – you know, I know that they've struggled a little bit this season, but they are the defending Super Bowl champions. The Bills are very much in play. I know they laid an egg two nights ago against the Titans, but to that point, very much in play as one of the strong teams in the NFL. Mm-hmm. What he would have got in Miami was a young, improving team and the opportunity to prove himself as a factor back in an offense that could have really needed him over the next two or three years in a team that could end up in the same position as the Bills this time next year and the Chiefs this time 2 years' time. But there's a lot of ifs around that, and running backs' careers don't last for too long. So I'm never going to blame him for taking a one-year deal to try and get to try and, you know, win a Super Bowl. And look, this time next year, or even at the end of the season, you know, he's a free agent. Mm-hmm. You know, if Miami is still interested in Le'Veon Bell, I mean, part of me wonders why they were dangling. Why didn't Miami trade for him?
Yeah.
Why don't you just offer a seventh round pick?
There's something to do with his contract. I do know for a fact that he needed to choose a team before Saturday or before games were played. I know that there's no game tonight, so he needed to choose a team before Sunday because he had a $1 million roster bonus that he would have lost if he was not on an NFL roster come this Sunday. So he needed to be on somewhere this week. So the decision was coming this week.
Do you know who the Jets' next three games are against?
Yeah. Against the Dolphins,
Miami, Chiefs. The Bills, and Chiefs. Astonishing.
Right, astonishing. Right? Yeah. So, you know, I there was a money component that had to do with his, you know, and I'm pretty sure the Jets were thinking, okay, do we take a sixth round pick, but then we have to pay him $1 million? You know what? It's not worth it to us to pay him $1 million for a sixth round pick or a seventh round pick. So let's just cut him and save ourselves this million. You know, I think that was their calculation. I think, you know, there has to be gas in the tank, and now we're definitely going to see it because Andy Reid's going to figure out how to play him and Clyde Edwards-Helaire together, if anything. And if not, they're going to have a great 1-2 punch. So, you know, well, no sense in crying over spilled milk. I guess we're back into.
No, exactly. You kind of got to move on, haven't you? I mean, I think just as a final full stop to, I think you make a very good point. That's clear, you know, A, he's 28. B, he has, 264 carries in the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. You know, that's. He's still got mileage on those, in those legs. It, for me, it's just how much does he want it? Just how much does he really care about playing football?
Yeah,
I think we'll see.
And as far as him as a free agent at the end of the season, I'm still more in on. I would use a high pick on Travis Etienne. I really think he's a star in the making.
But yeah, I think the Jets could be looking at a scenario where they can take Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick and Travis Etienne with the first pick of the second round. I don't see that as a scenario that's too far from the
reality. Yeah, I don't think that's crazy. Yeah, I don't think that's crazy at all. But, yeah, as far as Le'Veon Bell as a free agent at season's end, I think the Dolphins have to get – especially since I can almost see it already. The Dolphins are building into what could be a very desirable location for free agents. Hmm. I think the Dolphins have to get used to the idea of only taking guys that want to be here. And if somebody already told you no and decided your money wasn't green, you know, time to pass on, time to move on and go get somebody else. Go get somebody that wants to be here. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think it's, you know, I think the Dolphins should start thinking of themselves in that way, because one thing struck me as they were beating down the San Francisco 49ers. There was a picture of Kyle Van Noy and Ryan Fitzpatrick talking together.
Yeah.
And the announcer goes, and there goes the two oldest players on the Dolphins, 37 and 29.
Yeah. Youngest team in the league, you know.
Yes.
We've got two of the three youngest players in the league in Jackson and Igbinoghene.
Right. So, you know, I think the Dolphins are soon to be a very, very desirable location. I don't think they have to be begging people to come here. If guys don't want to be here, they don't want to be here. Just, you know, if you offer equal money and they say no, I don't think those are guys that you want on your team anyway. All right.
Yeah, now it feels like we're still a little bit in the sort of being played, used domain, as it were. Mm-hmm.
But I wonder what he really got out of it, because I'm hearing it's incentive laden to the max.
Yeah, so, I'm not surprised. It's got to be a prove-it deal, hasn't it?
Yeah, there has to be something in there, and I don't know how he's – like, if he's getting offered – you know, like, okay, you get $2 million if you run for 1,000 yards from here on out. If this were regular Le'Veon Bell and they had nobody in their backfield, I would believe it. But with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, are they really going to cut his snap count drastically? He's at somewhere around 21 touches a game right now, or 22 touches a game. So are they going to cut Clyde Edwards-Helaire back to what, 15 touches? And try to get the other 15 for Le'Veon Bell? Maybe that's what they're thinking.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So. I think what they've got to do is try and keep the Chiefs have got to do is try and keep their offense on the field for a bit longer. Mm-hmm. You know, they became all of a sudden became incredibly reliant on, you know, they threw the ball an awful lot. And I assume, I don't know this, but I would assume that Edwards-Helaire won't be available to play for a week or 10 days, because hasn't he got to go into NFL protocol? You know, doesn't he have like,
yeah, Le'Veon Bell.
Straight days or something.
Yeah, I was researching that today, and it was unclear whether since he was in with the Jets, if he was already in the protocol, so he could just move on from one team to the next. But evidently, when you move teams, everybody has a different protocol, and they have to start it over. So Le'Veon Bell can't play this week. He'll play next week. So he can't be active until next Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah.
So, you know, and yeah, I understand why the Chiefs would want a little bit of help. You're absolutely right. They got to stay on the field a little bit longer. You know, it's the Raiders. They lost to a division opponent at home. The alarms have to go off in your head just a little bit, right, Simon?
100%.
You know, 100%. And, you know, the Raiders look good in that game, but you lost, and you lost in a shootout at home. So you got to start thinking about, okay, we got to start thinking about doing things a little bit different, or we might not make another trip to the Super Bowl. All right, now two teams that are not talking about the Super Bowl, but one that might be talking about firing their head coach. Let me ask you this, Simon. Is there a distinct possibility the Dolphins will play against Adam Gase's last game as the New York Football Jets coach?
Yeah, I think it's a very strong possibility. You know, I think that, you know, there's been rumor. I mean, he's not well liked in New York generally, certainly not well liked by the media. And there's obviously the ongoing situation with management editor of the New York Post, New York Daily News, one of the two.
Yes.
You know, which.
Well, the Daily News despises him.
Yeah, absolutely. So we wait and see. But wouldn't it be the sweet irony if his final game was a defeat at Dolphin Stadium, given what happened? You know, I can't see a single way that the New York Jets win this game. I know that it will probably be good for the team that they've removed what, you know, some people were calling the cancer that was Le'Veon Bell. It's a tough word to use given its real meaning, but you kind of get where I'm coming from. I know that there are players coming back. They expect potentially Denzel Mims and Breshad Perriman to play this weekend, which will, you know, obviously boost their receiving core, which is considerably the worst in the league when you look at, you know, Chris Hogan, Jeff Smith, Braxton Berrios, only really Jameson Crowder of any note.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the Michael Pirine starting to get touches this week, which will be interesting to see what happens. Chris Herndon has been a massive disappointment at tight end, and obviously Sam Darnold won't play. Also, Mekhi Becton unlikely to play as well. The left tackle who was stunning in his first three games.
Yeah, I will say this today. I know the Daily News they had to pull a tweet because they had dropped a tweet on Adam Gase saying that was just a headline. They said this man does drugs, and I guess the Jets had told the Daily News like, come on, I know you guys hate us, but will you please stop it with this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, but they were advocating today. They were advocating like, okay, who's the model for a rebuild in the division? You never guess, of course. They mentioned the Miami Dolphins. And they were saying, isn't it time for the Jets to just jettison everybody at the deadline? And one guy they mentioned was Crowder, man. And, man, I would line up right away for Jameson Crowder for this team.
I mean, I saw Quinnen Williams as well talked about as a potential guy that they were going to cut. But, you know, I can't see them trading either Crowder or Quinnen Williams to somebody within the division. That just doesn't strike me as... But, you know, I think... You know, you're going to see a very different New York Jets team this time next year, both in coaching and certainly in personnel. You know, I don't believe Sam Darnold will be the quarterback of the New York Jets this time next year. I think Darnold will, you know, end up somewhere like Pittsburgh, for example. I just think that, you know, his time has come and probably gone. You know, Joe Douglas, the new GM, didn't draft him. And I think he'll look to bring in a coach potentially. You know, they've certainly tried to mine the well of college coaching with Matt Campbell at Iowa State. They certainly got very close to Matt Campbell. They got very close to Matt Rhule. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Joe Douglas went down that path. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence sits there staring them in the face. I mean, currently, I think they're the third overall pick. Atlanta would have the first. The New York Giants would have the second. But in that absolute... horror show that is the NFC East, I suspect the Giants probably will squeak across the line. It seemed like they were pretty close against the Cowboys the other night. You feel like they're going to win at one or two games. You just look at this Jets roster and you just think, I have no idea when you're, you know, where you're going to win a game. Neville Hewitt, the former Dolphin Kassoff, leads the team in tackles. You know, they are bereft of talent all over the field. You know, you watched that Thursday night game a couple of weeks ago. Against the Denver Broncos, you know, a team themselves battling, you know, down to their third string quarterback. And the way that Pierre Desir was treated as, you know, was absolutely abused in that game by Jerry Jeudy and by the Broncos receivers. You know, they really, really are struggling on defense. They can't get pressure. They can't stop the run. And they can't stop the pass. You know, they've got lots of young players, you know, Quincy Wilson, Ashton Davis, you know, up front, Quinnen Williams really hasn't developed in the way that you'd hope the third overall pick would do. Bryce Hall, the Virginia corner, who we all liked, who was injured and, you know, slow to come back. Blake Cashman, the linebacker, was on IR. You know, and they were struck by the injuries to CJ Mosley, which is, you know, has really hurt them most of all. But they're just not a good football team. And I for the life of me, can't see how they will beat the Dolphins at the weekend. I just think we have way too much talent, way too much power for them. And you know, Adam Gase talked this week about giving up play calling, and then Darrell Loggins gave a press conference. They said they talked about it, but Adam had decided he was going to keep calling the plays, which, you know, means, you know, a heavy dose of 3.2 yards per carry. Frank Gore, who we all, you know, beloved, but, you know, who is not long for this footballing world.
For this mortal coil.
Yeah, exactly. And you look at the stats, you look at all the stats, you know, they are pretty much worse than the NFL in third down conversion. They're 0-7 in fourth down conversion, in yardage, in time of possession. You know, the league average this season is 33.5 minutes. The Jets only averaged 26 minutes time of possession. They're last in turnovers against, turnovers for, penalties, offside penalties. Everything you could think of that is bad, the Jets are the dominant force in. So, you know, if the Dolphins aren't 3-3 by the end of this weekend, they'll have done something drastically wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you've noticed, dear listener, why we're not talking a lot about Jets Dolphins, although usually Jets Dolphins can get your blood flowing, it's because it's not the Dolphins' fault, okay? They're coming off a 43-17 win over the 49ers. So we could talk plenty about them, but we just don't want to talk about the Jets until the very, very end of the show. But one thing we can talk about is, and I know people hate to hear this stuff, but this Trevor Lawrence thing, it's bothered me in one respect, but it's not in another. If you read what is going on in Atlanta, they're advocating trading Matt Ryan to whoever needs a quarterback to put them over the hump and for anything, because they're determined to get Trevor Lawrence. Will they get him, or is the Jets' plan just too good?
I think that Atlanta are just too good a team, actually. You know, you look around that, you know, whether or not they keep Ryan or not, and actually I it would not surprise me if they traded him. And you have to think that reuniting Matt Ryan with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco would be a pretty much a marriage made in heaven. You feel like that would get San Francisco over the hump. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback we pretty much thought he was. You know, he is not a he's not an upper echelon NFL quarterback. I think that's fair to say. And Matt Ryan could be the guy, you know, 35, still has, you know, miles in the clock, as it were. You know, his arm doesn't seem to be wavering in the way that Drew Brees's, for example, has so drastically. But I just think the Falcons are too good a team. You look at, you know, look, you're only as good as your record, and they are 0-5, 0-6. But, you know, Todd Gurley is fourth in the NFL in rushing yards. You know, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Hayden Hurst, you know, they've got an offensive line. I mean, 10 of their 11 starters against the Packers the other day on Monday Night Football were former first round picks. You know, Matt Ryan at quarterback, Todd Gurley at running back, Jones and Ridley, Hayden Hurst, all first rounders. And then James Carpenter, Chris Lindstrom, Alex Mack, Jake Matthews, and Caleb McGarry, all first rounders. And you know, it's astonishing. And
so their fans are just dreaming. It's a pipe dream to want Trevor Lawrence at this point.
You know, it would be perfection, because, you know, Georgia kid going back to, you know, staying in state, given all the furore and the death threats and things that happened when he left Georgia, you know, grew up in Cartersville, Georgia, 70 miles north of Atlanta, to go to South Carolina, to Clemson, to university, because everybody believed that he was staying in state and going to the Bulldogs. Kirby Smart flew his helicopter in to recruit him on a number of occasions, but it didn't happen. But I think that the Falcons have too much talent, unless they start shelling Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. You know, you could easily see scenarios where they trade Matt Ryan. I think you probably get, you know, you'd get an early second at very worst, and probably a first rounder for Matt Ryan.
Well, San Francisco trade their first this year to the Colts?
They did, to the Colts, for DeForest Buckner, who's playing at an all-pro level this year. So,
yes.
But you look at Deion Jones, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, you could easily get rid of, you know, you look at a team like the Green Bay Packers or the Patriots would give up, you know, a high pick for Julio Jones, who's still playing at a high level despite being 31. You know, there's still, again, miles in the tank for Julio.
Although he found a hamstring injury, which they might use to stash him. So,
and
I would be tempted if I did have the devious plan, okay? Not that anybody will purposefully go out there to lose every single game this year, although I think they might have to do that to overtake the Jets. Although they do have the Jets right now, but, you know, the Jets are coming on hard. Okay, they're coming fast for them. But if I did have those plans, man, I would like to hand over Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones to Trevor Lawrence next year, right? Like, it would be a dream to have those guys still on the roster and have your rookie quarterback come in with those guys. So, I don't know. So,
I mean, I think the Falcons are on the hook for some significant, I think, $50 million in dead money next year if they cut Ryan. So I suppose the financials would suggest that he's probably going to be mentoring a young quarterback next year before moving on, unless the right deal appears. Because at some point, if you're the 49ers and you think you can't get over the hump with Jimmy G, then do you try and, you know, put your eggs into the 3 or 4? You know, you look at the way that quarterbacks are. Drew Brees being, 43, 42, Tom Brady being 43. Aaron Rodgers says he wants to play into his 40s. You know, Matt Ryan at 35, if he still has a desire to do what those three guys have done, there might be 6-7 years left on his clock. Well, would you give up if you're a team like the 49ers, whose window is open, but you can see it closing in the next 2 or 3 years? Would you give up a first round pick if you believe that Matt Ryan, going back to the offensive coordinator that he is most beloved of, would get them over the hump? I think you probably would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of their media this week, and needless to say, you gotta listen to their media, Simon. They have a guy for Sports Illustrated who follows the 49ers around. His name is Grant Cohn. Jesus Christ, that guy actually absolutely despises Jimmy Garoppolo, and he was basically just saying, okay, it's time, go get Matt Ryan, whatever they want, just bring him in, and just get it done. If you listen to them, they feel pretty good about what they have on offense. They love Debo Samuel. They like George Kittle. They like Brandon Ayuk. They love Raheem Mostert. So, and they like McKinnon too. So they like what they have on their offense. They look at their quarterback and they're like, this is not it. This is not enough. You know, let's try to get back to the Super Bowl and get back quickly, make a trade for Matt Ryan. So they're advocating for it. So who knows? It might happen. And if I'm Atlanta, man, I'm so tempted. Like, I got to figure out a way to lose 16 games. I just got to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm not sure it'll happen.
Yeah. So it has to be the Jets, right? Is there another shooter that we're not aware of? It's just the Jets and the Falcons? That's it?
The Giants?
Huh. I don't know. They did, you know, they looked okay against Dallas, but it was Dallas. Dallas allows points to everybody. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Dallas has the worst. I mean, statistically, it's the worst defense in NFL history in terms of yards given up per game.
I would say so, because they played the Giants, who came in with one of the worst offenses in NFL history, averaging 12 points a game, and the Giants put up what, 33?
Yeah.
So 34. Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. I mean,
the Giants play Washington twice in the next 4 weeks. That's, they play the Bengals. Bad. I mean, I could see the Giants win it. I mean, they play Washington, the Eagles, the Buccaneers, Washington, the Eagles, the Bengals, the Seahawks, the Cardinals, the Browns, the Ravens, and the Cowboys. So I think
those are all losses. Period. Those are all.
Yeah,
losses.
I think Washington and the Bengals, you could win three games there.
Mm-hmm. And Washington has a win, right? So that's the problem.
Washington does have a win.
Yeah, the Washington has a win. That's the problem. Yeah, there's some bad teams.
There are some bad teams, man. There's some bad teams. You know, clearly with the Dwayne Haskins situation, Washington is now, you know, looking for that quarterback of the future.
Yeah, I'm just interested in keeping him away from the Jets. I don't care that the Jets are mud, you know. The Jets would like I told you this morning, the thinking is that the Jets could fuck up a cup of coffee. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, a cup of coffee is the easiest thing to make in the world. All right, you just get good beans, and you get clean water, and you make good coffee.
Well, I don't want Trevor Lawrence at the Jets, I've got to say.
Yeah, that's I'm trying to finesse him away from the Jets, and I don't see the path. I really don't. All right, now, you know, you beat the 49ers 43-17. It tends to bring about some expectations, and we talked about it last week. So, well, we talked about it on Monday. You know, 5-2 puts us right in the thick of the playoff hunt. That's what's expected as far as, you know, if they're really going to make a run at this thing. But I'm talking about a little bit more different expectations. They're facing Joe Flacco. Are the Dolphins really expected to smash the Jets this Sunday at home, Simon? Or a win is a win is a win is a win, and you just take it?
I mean, you take a win, right? I mean, in 3 years' time, nobody's going to look back and say, well, that was an average performance at the Dolphins. It's a win. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but if if they manage to win like 16-13, this are you coming back on Monday and saying, oh, I don't know about this team?
I think it would be disappointing. You know, and Joe Flacco, you know, he holds the Indian sign over us. I mean, I think is he 6-0 or 7-0 against us in career?
I don't know what it is, but it's a lot. I know he beat us in the playoffs too. So
yeah, and his last, I think his last two games against us, he's held the team he's played for, Baltimore, have held us to, didn't they beat us 40-0 on Thursday Night Football and then spank us around to 3 or 6 points?
38-7 the one time before.
Yeah, so 40-0 on Thursday Night Football and 38-7 the time before that.
Yeah, but in between there was a game, but I don't think we're counting that game because they had a lot of injuries. I'm not sure what happened in that game. Or I don't think he played. I think he was injured, if I'm correct. Right, I'm not sure. I know there was a game in between that we won.
No, they beat us 38-6, and Flacco threw for 4 touchdowns and 381 yards.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then we beat them.
We had a 6-0 streak at that point. Ugh. I can't remember. He's never lost to us.
Okay, so he is undefeated against the Dolphins.
He's undefeated against Miami. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's time to give him a defeat. I don't see it. I don't see how the Jets are going to get it together for one Sunday, especially the Dolphins are flying high. They have to be flying high after that game. There's going to be some extra motivation in that running back room, I would think, after everybody being assigning away from losing their job. I would like to see the Dolphins get Matt Breida more involved. And, you know, I think we're getting ready to give up on the Jordan Howard experiment. So what do you expect?
I suspect you'd be
caught. Yeah, possibly. Who knows? Who knows what's out there? Who knows? They might even trade for somebody. You mentioned one of those guys already. you know, what if Atlanta just thinks, you know what? What are we doing with the fourth leading rusher in the NFL? You know, let's send Todd Gurley to the Dolphins for a fifth round pick and call it a day. Like, that could make some sense, right?
To me, Gurley looks really slow.
Mm-hmm.
He just lacks the explosion that, you know, that he had that 22-yard touchdown run the other day, and it looked like he was running in treacle. I mean, he's playing okay, but to me, I'm not sure I'd do that, frankly. You know, I wonder about somebody like Gus Edwards in Baltimore, for example, mm-hmm. who stylistically fits what they like. But look, Miles Gaskin's playing all right, you know, and like you say, be good to get rid of the ball a bit more. Patrick Laird was on the field more against the 49ers than I'd seen him before, and he seems to be back from injury. It wouldn't surprise if they just rode with this triumvirate through to the end of the season if they can stay healthy. And especially if Gaskin's injury. I think the kid's playing hard, you know.
He's a good pass receiver, I will say that. He catches the ball as clean as any running back we've had here in a while.
Quite patient as a runner as well. I liked him at Washington. You know, he's slippery. He's, you know, he narrows his hips and gets through holes. He's got good vision. He's got really good field vision. He looks very small out there, mm-hmm. But I do like him. He goes forward on contact a lot of the time. You know, and I think he's benefiting from some decent offensive line play, which, you know, God, how often have we been able to say that over the last few years? So,
yeah, like somebody was complaining the other day about that Jordan Howard was a bust, and should we start questioning what Chris Greer has done this offseason? And I said, are you crazy? We've been talking about an offensive line here for 4,000 years, and Chris Greer might have fixed it in one offseason, okay, by signing one guy off the street in Ted Karras. One mid-level free agent in Eric Flowers, and then drafting three guys that so far seems like he's hit big on. So, yeah.
I mean, take the top seven running backs in the NFL this season who have forced missed tackles. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Give me some names that you think should, you know, think about the best running backs in the league. Think about, you know,
who Elliott, should be on that top.
So Zeke is fourth with 17 missed tackles forced on runs this season.
McCaffrey?
No, because of the injury.
Right, right. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I would say for sure is there, right?
No, he's not actually.
Hmm.
So that's... seventh is Derrick Henry. Sixth is Devin Singletary. Fifth is Ezekiel Elliott. No, sorry, that's a lie. Sixth is Derrick Henry. Fifth is Singletary. Fourth is Elliott. Second is Josh Jacobs. First is Dalvin Cook, and Miles Gaskin is third.
Wow!
With the most missed tackles forced on runs this season. So Cook has 24, Jacobs has 22, and Gaskin has 18. The rest have 17.
Yeah, well, there it is. You know,
and he's on pace for 1,300 yards rushing this season.
Yes. Again, you know, nobody notices that, right?
1,297 yards rushing. He's on pace for.
Yeah, I think the people just look at the he doesn't have a 100-yard rushing game, and I think that's what people are looking at. They want to see those numbers, you know. They want to see those numbers on the board, and they want to see a 40-50-yard touchdown run is what they want to see.
Yeah.
You know, but as far as him, you know, getting yards from scrimmage, absolutely. I just feel like he gets what's there and doesn't get much more, but those numbers seem to say that he is getting more than what's there. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah, it's time to see more. We'll just see more, and you know, who knows? Maybe he improves, and maybe they incorporate Matt Breida a little bit more, and that'll make the team much more explosive. Okay, so what do you expect? Give me a score, and does Adam Gase get fired after the game?
I say Miami 38, the Jets 14, and yes, he gets fired.
Okay, well, we're thinking along the same lines. I think the Dolphins might have a little bit of a letdown, but it won't be enough for the Jets to get in there. I said the Jets kick some field goals to make it somewhat close, but it's still 30-16 Dolphins, and Adam Gase gets fired Monday morning, and we're on Trevor Lawrence watch for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
All right. Hopefully we will talk to you on Monday about a big Dolphins victory over the New York Jets, and then we'll look forward to a bye week, which will mean no preview show the following week. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.